Plans are established by counsel, by wise guidance, wage war, Proverbs 20:18. I think the guidance is the instruction, though, isn't it? You've been given this task, the agenda. You have been guided. You are enlightened. You are fulfilled. You render it. You process it. You manifest it. You put light on the subject. You're weeding it out. It's the garden of life. You're pulling the weeds. You're throwing the rocks. You're expecting growth, and you're retaining it in some way, shape, and form, coddling it, holding it near and dear to your heart. You are convinced because of this guidance, this direction that you've been receiving, that you will find eternity in abundance, overflowing love, a joy of happiness, that you shall not be suffering in any way, shape, or form. But the guidance is more than the thought, nor is it more than the scripture. The Holy Spirit is that enactment inside of you. So notice, by wise guidance, wage war. So by wise guidance, the knowledge, right? The tree of knowledge. Think about what we're referencing here. By wise guidance, wage war. But I don't want to fight. I heard of this person called Jesus Christ. They're forgiven. They're saved. They're redeemed. I don't have a point to prove. There's nothing worse in the world, right? It's okay. It's okay. So we wage war because the guidance that we've been given, the points that we have to prove are no longer valid. That now all of a sudden what we find to be relevant or what they find to be relevant isn't relevant in any way, shape, or form because we progressively seek inequity. Well, isn't it true that you found inequity, sin, wickedness, and death to be more enlightening than forgiveness itself? But you could have anything, an abundance of anything, but yet you've chosen to wage war. The war goes on inside of us, and the guidance is no more than the acknowledgement in some days on denying our own wants and needs. There's individuals that they swear to the testament of the devotion. Somebody said it's called a commandment. Did you hear what I said? You cannot go against the word. But the guidance, the direction on the inside of the Holy Spirit living and breathing inside of you delivers us. It sets me free. I don't have anything to worry about because I know for the decisions that I make, I am forgiven. I am redeemed. He shines his light upon me. The walk and path that I've chosen is blessed, is redeemed, not condemned nor frowned, but the darkness may find some value within it. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. Proverbs 1:5. We listen. The wise, we hear. We increase in learning. It's relevant to me. Why are you living the life that you're living? Because I believe in it, because it works for me. Excellent. And it doesn't come at the cost and expense of anybody else. Brilliant. The one who understands obtains guidance. That's very good to bounce ideas and thoughts off of one another. I got innovation. This is how this works. This is how this doesn't work. And the guidance is more practical when there's actually laboring of the hands. It becomes literal. I'm acts, laboring of the deeds. I walk within this discipline, within this degree. It gives me guidance. I've learned. I've learned when to say yes, when to say no. Not being denied by creature outright. Oh no, rather but be receiving the yes of forgiveness by Christ. So you learn as you adapt. You learn as you fail. You learn as you succeed because he's with you along the journey. The increase of knowledge, wise to hear, increase in learning. The more we learn, the more we learn, the more we're worth. I was once told the moment you stop learning, then you're dead. You're no longer worth the air that you're breathing because we're continuously advancing until the day that the heart stops. It could be right. I'm not quite sure. For by wise guidance, you can wage your war. And in an abundance of counselors, there is victory. Proverbs 24:6, getting down to the nitty-gritty here. It's a political preference or something. What color did you choose? In abundance of counselors, there is victory. I referenced a certain location this morning. I was thinking a session. I was putting it back within the hands. It's okay. But for by wise guidance, you can wage your war. Where does the wise come from? It becomes from your counsel, though. But who is your counsel? Who's your advocate? Most of us would say Christ, the Holy Spirit, the substance, the Trinity, God. Yes, of course. Increase in learning. Here it comes. And its abundance is pouring onto you. You can't deny its presence, right? Very good. The one who understands obtains guidance. Oh, we moved. It was an abundance of counselors. There is victory. So the achievement at this point is, for wise guidance, you can wage your war. And I'm going to break it down a little bit. You can have what you want. You can make decisions if you choose to make decisions. Very good. And in an abundance of counselors, there is victory. You will seek approval of somebody if it even is yourself, if it's not about him. So in an abundance of counselors, there is victory. We get what we want. So when we sum it up, When we look at it, when we flip it, we turn it. It is the mirror, the reflection that's looking back at us. For by wise guidance, you can wage your war, regardless if it's right or wrong. It's what you want. And in an abundance of counselors, there is victory. So it's going to be right for you regardless, even if somebody says, no, stop. So the relevance comes into play when you're capable of establishing sustainment within that. The solid foundation that you stand on proves to be adequate for you. And if other individuals were to ask, you have no more than an offering for here. I can help you. Very, very good. See, we don't have to push our points. We don't have a point to prove. Life is not up for discussion. And that's a big one for us. Think about what I'm saying. Life itself and the directive of it is not up for discussion. At some points, in some cases, we wonder why we passively fallen asleep. Awaken! What's wrong with you? I don't want you to miss this. What? Whoa! What's going on? It's this thing called life. Don't spend the rest of your life sleeping, sitting on the sidelines. I'm going back to the dugout. There ain't nothing out here for me. Mm-mm. Get you a big old dip, a lipful if you would. Think about what I'm saying. You find sustainment in the acts of practice of laboring deeds that you find to be relevant, and it grows upon you. Every choice you're making leads to sustainment and leads to the sense of eternity, fulfillment, the storing of treasures. You don't have to be accepted or denied, but rather it is relevant that you are weathered. It's tried and true. It's within competence and means and discipline and degree. Nobody can hold a flame to you. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Sometimes it's a big old bonfire and things just continue to grow. Where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety, Proverbs 11:14. So now all of a sudden I've decided to go out on free will. And I'm not referencing right or wrong. I have no antidote of ethical morality, right? The crucifixion does non-exist. Somebody said conscience? Get out of here. I'm not trying to hear it at this moment. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Excellent. So you'll always find your safe haven, your safe keeping, and everybody likes that. Where's your safe haven? At rock bottom or at your hours of succession? Who are you? Where do you go? Who are you safe with? I go back to Him, to Christ, and Christ in thought, word, and deed, and to God. Yes, of course, there is nothing else. But here comes your counselors. There is safety. If you choose to have a different God, and you shall only have one, you're still going to find enlightenment in that. Well, I approved of what I approved of, and the ones that approved of me, they approved of the same. So now we don't have anything to worry about. But notice He's still smiling down, looking upon us. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Psalms 32:8. Immediately, regardless of what you're doing, and this is thorough, this is following up to it, the reformation of following the footsteps, I'm tracking, I'm listening, I'm looking for the blood trail. I know I hit the lung. Maybe it was a heart shot. I'm not quite sure. But it's wounded. I'm afflicted. I'm bittered. I'm bad. And I'm crawling down on the ground begging for mercy. God help me. Because I've fallen victim to my own wants and needs. Because the flesh has taken more shape and form. And the animal inside of me, well, it's going to get killed. Oof. And it's going to get put to rest. And it's going to get laid to sleep. So I will instruct you and teach you on the way that you should go. You've been told that. Now you know it. Convert yourself if you would. Actually possess it. Start walking within that line. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And some would say, with my eye upon you, it's your saving grace. Yeah, it's your guardian angel. They're staring down at you. You don't have anything to worry about. You're saved. You're redeemed. You're safe. You don't have anything to worry about. But how many of us have encountered our fellow brothers and sisters that are stricken, they're bitten, they're upside down, they're twisted and they're turned. And all of a sudden the scripture, the commandments, the laws, the morality itself, right? Somebody said crucifixion. It's become a battalion of weapon of mass destruction so we can fight, argue, and bitter and batter one another. But I choose not to fight. In fact, I choose to love. I got a whole bunch of it. Forgive me. I think different. Because it's what He's given me, so I have it for you. I apologize. They turn around and around by His guidance to accomplish all that He commands them on the face of the habitable world. Job 37:12. So we turn around and around. We go way out there. Sometimes we find ourselves coming right back on into it. I do a lot of work with the Jesuits, and I tell them the extreme levels of education. 12, 13, 14 years they've been invested to the education, to that side of it, to the scholarly notion, outright commitment and dedication. Very, very good. But sometimes that education is the tree of knowledge. It's the forbidden fruit. It leads them astray. They know better. They're holier than thou. Mm-hmm. And it is that education that's turning them around and around. Before you know it, they're chasing their own tail. Well, they're referencing, is God and Christ actually even real? Somebody said, what about forgiveness? Let me reference it. We can go as deep as far as we want. You can come right back home, or you can go way out there, way down all the way to the keys and back if you'd like. Think about what I'm saying. But you'll find yourself coming back to him. He commands them on the face of the habitable world. On the face of it. It's the image that you see that you perceive it. It's about what you want. So your deception is how you see the world. Somebody told me, I was listening on the way back home, and one of my dearest friends, she told me something. I was listening to what she said. I says, be careful. I says, for the love that you have for others will be the same love that'll be used at you. So your love can be minus. It can be in negative figures. It can be in red. And it's not going to have the same type of entity. But it can go plus. You can be over here. You can be in the green and the plus side. Things are really looking up. Good example. And it will be relevant to you. So the same love in the score and measure, breath for breath, life for life, love for love, that you use in perception of deception of others is what comes back to you. So regardless of how far you go out, the doctrine, the lecturing, the fulfillment, intellectually compelled, socially sustained, yes, of course, crucifixion, I am forgiven, excuse me, you'll come back to him, the habitable world. And a lot of us, the face, we reference Jesus. We have a picture, an image of who the face is. Of course, some of us, we have images of faces that are gifts of God. Very, very good. But either way, we come back to him. They turn around and around by his guidance. You can fail, you can try, twist, turn, setback, failures, and as many times as you want to turn, and around we go, you'll still come back to him. He's still looking down on you. You're forgiven, you're redeemed. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Proverbs 3:6. And I think that's it. Your crooked ways will be turned straight, right? And we've all heard that. We live within that light. We walk within it. If you acknowledge him in all your ways, right? He'll make straight your path. So every path and every decision you make when you're putting it within his hands, you don't need to be confined. You don't need to be harassed. You don't need everybody telling you that everybody's listening to everybody. What does the all belong to? In my particular case, it belongs to God. There's scripture, I think, within Hebrews that reference it. It's all God, all within his trust, which means it's private. All is actually private. Do you know why? Because you have an abundance of everything within God and Christ. You don't have to live without. You don't have to have individuals scoring you, denting you. Oh, no. I heard what you did last night. Mm-hmm. And she enjoyed it. We got audio. You want to hear it? When now? Yes, of course. And your ear shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. Isaiah 30:21. You hear it. You see it. You perceive it. You believe it. You're handed a cup, you take a drink, it's set down on the table, the body and blood of Christ, you're eating it, you're consuming it. You will hear and will hear the word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. He approves of everything you've got going on. You walk within that light, and when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, he's still in approval of you. See, somebody once told me he already knew every decision you were going to make prior to making it, and you don't have anything to worry about. So the crooked way is being turned straight. Well, the conversion happened quite a while ago. Somebody said it was a baptism. Well, you must have accepted breath or accepted God and Christ within your life. You made commitment, but either way, it's right for you because it's right for him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. You can hit scenarios in life where I just don't understand. I don't get it. How could this happen to me? Like, what's going on here? How could that be? I'm doing everything I'm supposed to. It's the dramatic failure. You've seen the scene. I'm running up to the train and I got to catch it real quick. I'm utilizing public transportation. I got to catch the train at this time. If I miss it, I'm going to be late for work. You're running. You go up the escalator. You get to the top. Here comes the Amtrak. Whoa. And the train's taking off right as you're getting out from the top of the escalator. You're dropping down on your knees. The bag falls aside. No. There's some camera way up in the sky looking down at you as it's spinning around, pivotable. You're like, how could this happen? But we're forgiven, we're redeemed, we're quick to get off of our knees and to walk outright. Instead of being confined and being laying down on the ground, being a slave to scripture or being the righteous child. It is fun being the righteous child though, isn't it? I'm righteous because I know I make mistakes. But because of forgiveness and repentance, I'm capable of being forgiven and redeemed. So I love the righteousness. The little bit of child? Well, somebody said the evil adult is very fun. Of course. More than you could ever imagine. But it's within him. Not my understanding, not my interpretation, but what he delivers to me within his guidance. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. I give him within trust. I don't have anything to worry about. Yes, of course. And then lean on him, not my own understanding. You got to repent. You see somebody that's telling you it's biblical, it's black and white, it's written down on paper. These are the laws, the statutes, the code. If they prevent God and Christ from being the enactment in your life that is your saving grace, well, then your understanding and your competence shall not be that I can find in you. Did you want me to give you my life, for goodness sakes? God is the creator, the giver and taker. He's the one that did this for me. So it goes back to him. I'm not going to lean on what I find to be right. But notice we only lean what on what we find to be right when it requires acknowledgement, acceptance, or denial of creature. But I can tell you this, and it's only a promise. Somebody said like eternity, right? There's an inheritance of heaven. Very good. But the promise is any form of life and walk that you exercise in that requires consent, acceptance, or denial, you're not alive, but you're practicing being dead. So proclaim what you find to be relevant, but know that that form of love will be the form of love that you're receiving. If it's good and I give to you, here, very good, have a very good day, then I'm imagining you're going to give to somebody else and you're going to bless them in some way, shape, or form. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Proverbs 16:9. There you've got it. There it is. There's the GPS. There's the travel trip, the itinerary. My ticket's booked. I mean, we're flying out. We got all-inclusive passes. Really nice dining at the end of the evening. Candlelight service. Excellent. The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. So that firm footing, every step we take along the way, the milestones, we can proclaim it. We can witness it. We can testify it back to him. I am saved. I am redeemed. I don't have anything to worry about. Having a point to prove seems worthless, though, doesn't it? Why should I have to argue about the form of life that I find to be relevant? If it works for me, what's the problem? By the way, why are you so mad? Excuse me, I don't understand why the form of life that you've chosen to believe in, which arguably enough in your case is restrictions and limitations, a good example, why is it relevant to me? I live in a life to where there is no limitations and restrictions. I don't like being restricted. I don't like being limited. I like being saved and redeemed. I like having an abundance of everything, and I give it back unto him. Not only do I give it back to him, but daily I'm giving. I'm touching hearts, souls, and minds and moving them within grace, within love and acceptance and joy. I told you at the beginning, I've got love. Love is what he's given me. It's unconditional. It's blameless. There is no excuses. Very, very good. Be careful on the firm footing. The next step might be better than the previous one, or the previous one is better than the last one. But he is the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow, and that's not going to change. Absolutely excellent. Lord, forgive me. Make me known to your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. 25:4. Here's the acknowledgement of the conversion. Here's the acknowledgement of the conversion. Now my life is changing. Make me known to your ways. O Lord, teach me your paths. I'm being converted. Life is changing. Now I know you are the right decision. I've been making the wrong decision. Shine your light on me. Guide me. Strengthen me. Give it to me in heart, soul, mind, thought, word, and deed so that I can continue to be blessed by what you're giving so that I am saved, so that I am redeemed. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Psalms 25:5. So I don't have anything to worry about. So I wait all day long. Because at the end of the day, when I lay my head down, when I seek rest, think about what I'm saying, when I seek rest, before you know it, here comes the love, the guidance, here comes the salvation through the body and the blood. Yes, of course, I am saved and I am redeemed. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalms 119:105. There is no right or wrong decision here. In fact, the lack of discovering life itself is no more than a submissiveness of confession of bondage. I've chosen not to discover life. I'm worried. I fear it. I have something to worry about. The truth has never set me free. I proudly walk around within these chains and shackles, and it's something that I embraced. How so very relevant? But to who? But to nobody other than you. The life you lead is relevant to you because it proves to be sustaining in every way, shape, and form. And that's where the relevance comes in. He did not seek guidance from the Lord. Therefore, the Lord put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. 1 Chronicles 10:14. My goodness. I mean, they say that there's consequences when we don't put it back within his hands, when we deny his presence within our lives. The Holy Spirit, the enactment, the substance, the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, what do they do for you? They teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Psalms 143:10. So my ground is leveled. I'm not going up nor down, but rather I have peace, I have contentment, I have fulfillment. My cup's outright brimming. Get you a drink real quick. It's brimming, it's overflowing, plumb to the top. When you start seeing the abundance of Christ, before you know it, you don't have your hands out anymore. But now you're starting to give. Now you're starting to spoil. Now you're starting to really, really enjoy some of the blessings. Some of the blessings and the endurance, the stamina that's behind them. Longevity, I said, eternity. I'm outright invested and he's invested in me. Very, very good. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Psalms 37:23, delights in his way. We are meant to be Christ-like in thought, in image, in word, in deed. It's not a sense of confession. It's not bondage. It's not slavery. But if you believe in it and you live in it, there is nothing else. It's a way to set your soul free. Don't be damaged. Don't be bitter. Don't be battered. Of course, everybody likes to enjoy life. But why would you want to be upheaved? Want to be turned around, twisted and set back and turned and failed? So the light at the end of the tunnel, the guidance that we're receiving is relevant because when the directions come on the phone, turn right now, I know he's blessing that path. It renders on me, it cooks on me, it boils down. I am convinced because of salvation, I believe, faith, hope, that through him I am guaranteed eternal life and I shall not suffer, nor do I want to suffer while I'm here on earth. And I'm not sure what you have for offering. I'm not sure what you're giving one another or what you're giving yourself. If you're joyed of happiness or if you're sorrowed of sadness. I'm not sure. But be thankful, rejoice, count your blessings if you would on the gifts that you're receiving. And remember the promise of eternal life, the inheritance. Yes, of course, there is nothing else. Let me wrap this up and let me close in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father and Christ our Savior, Redeemer, with strength, guidance, knowledge, wisdom, passion, integrity, devotion. Let this food, fellowship, communion fulfill our hearts, souls, and minds. Let the doctoring, the words, the sounds, the hymnals, the trumpets sounding from heaven move right into our hearts, souls, and minds, embracing us and comforting us with a flawless twist and turn mindset. Let our lives be a true revelation of the fulfillment of prosperity that we've been finding within him. The guidance of deliverance is no more than our prosperity in renderance in every way, shape, and form. With love, with compassion and grace, continue to love us so we can love others, and then let that light shine upon them. Let us forgive, redeem, confess, and be stern in the path that we walk, for only we shall deal with the consequences of where our footsteps. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and Christ our Savior's name we pray. Be sure to look at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, follow the Buzzsprout feed. If you have any questions, need a sense of direction, are in need of faith-based services or outreach in any way, shape, or form, reach out to me. There are services available. You can hit me up. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the continued support and donations. Have a very, very blessed day. God bless you. Thank you.